Lord Ram his pastimes. Verses to choose from. Like sitting in front of a huge feast and having to choose one preparation. Text 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Vishrasvaso kama pahi jahi vasravaso vameham
kama prayani vishrasvaso
vameham trilokiravanam kava duhi virapatnim
trilokiravanam
Bani hi saitam hi hate yasa sovita dhyai.
Bani hi saitam hi hate yasa sovita dhyai.
Gayanti digvijayino yam upaiti bhupaha.
Gayanti digvijayino yam upaiti bhupaha.
Kamam prayahi jahi vishrasvasovameham.
Kamam prayahi jahi vishrasvasovameham.
Trailokya ravanam avapnuhi virapatnim.
Trailokya ravanam avapnuhi virapatnim.
Vanehi ksetu ihate yasya sovatatai.
Vanehi ksetu ihate yasya sovatatai.
Gayanti digvijahino yam upetya bhupaha.
Gayanti digvijahino yam upetya bhupaha.
Kamam prayahi jahi visra vasovameham.
Kamam prayahi jahi visra vasovameham.
Trailokya ravanam avyapnuhi virapatnim.
Trailokya ravanam avyapnuhi virapatnim.
Vanehi saitam ihate yasa sovatatyai.
Vanehi saitam ihate yasa sovatatyai.
Gayanti digvijayino yam upatnim. bhupaha.
Dayam siddhi kriteto yamudetya bhupaha. Bye. कामं प्रयाहि यदि विश्वतसो वमेहम् त्रैलोक्य रावणवाहं निवीरपत्नीम्
of Vishrava Muni, Avameham, pollution like urine, Trilokya, for the three worlds, Ravanam, the person known as Ravana, the cause of weeping, Avanuhi, regained, Vira. O great hero, Patnim, your wife, Bannihi, just construct, Satum, a bridge, Iha, here, on this water, Te, of your good self, Yashasa, fame, Vita Vitatyai, to expand, Gayanti, will glorify, Dig Vijayina, great heroes who have conquered all directions, Yam, which, bridge, Upetya, coming near, Upaha, great kings. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, you may use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is a great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishrava, but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him, and thus regain your wife Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, Please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. Purport. It is said that a son and urine emanate from the same source, the genitals. When a son is a devotee or a great learned person, the seminal discharge for begetting a son is successful. But if the son is unqualified and brings no glory to his family, he is no better than urine. Here, Ravana is compared to urine because he was a cause of disturbances to the three worlds. Thus, the ocean personified wanted him killed by Lord Ramachandra. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, is omnipotence. The Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences. But to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays, it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramachandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stones by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramachandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge. And we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. We should not accept any rascal as God or incarnation of God, for God displays special features in his various activities. Therefore, the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chane divyam naivam yo vikitat vataha taktva deham punam janma nanti maneti sojana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode of Arjuna. The activities of the Lord are not common. They are all transcendentally wonderful and are not able to be performed by any other living being. The symptoms of the Lord's activities are all mentioned in the Shastras, and after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Janardana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Nyatasmai Shri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Vintale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Datati Swam Kadatikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasani Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. So, when the Lord appears in this material world, he displays various activities, some ordinary and some quite common, like everyone else. But he also performs extraordinary activities, or what we say, those activities that only can be done by him alone. And this is important to understand, especially in today's world. Very important to understand. God is not something cheap. Although God is very personal in his relationships with his devotees, still, he is, by all means, and by all definitions, in a category by himself, with no one else in that category. And the Lord, you will see, even in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Although Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he played a role as a devotee. So much so that he even would block his ears if someone called him God. Because in his mission, and due to the climate of the time, people were claiming to be God quite often. Incarnation of God and God himself, by displaying various forms of mystic power or some extraordinary material feats. And Lord Chaitanya, when he was called God, he would block his ears. But still, he really studied the pastimes. There were many things that he did that were exclusively done by his internal energy and showing his potency as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could consume unlimited amounts of prasadam. There was a room this big full of Govinda, his servant, would always receive, because the Lord wouldn't take the prasadam directly to him. He would always give it to his servant, either Govinda or to Swadamada Goswami. So Govinda was his personal servant. This from when the Lord was in Jagannath Puri in a later pastime. And he would get a bag of or a plate of prasadam, and he would give it to the Lord. The Lord said, "With this plate over there." And this kept going on for a whole month. And then the people would come up to Govinda, "Did the Lord like my prasadam?" And he didn't know what to say because the Lord never really tasted it. They just piled it up in the corner, and it was just like boom, full of prasad. And really, it was described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as a huge room full of prasad. This was accumulating after months. And Govinda was in anxiety because everyone was asking, "Did the Lord like it?" And then one day he came to the Lord and said, "My dear Lord, you know, all these devotees and others have given me so much prasad from you, and then they ask me, how did he like my prasad? What did he say? And I don't know what to tell them. I don't want to lie to them, but I don't know what to tell them." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Stop worrying, you foolish man, and just bring it all." But the Lord just ate everything. And it was like a room full. It was a room that's described as a room full of prasad. So only God can do that. Some people try to do that. Sometimes you see in Sunday peace, we have some people back in the old days of Krishna consciousness. And we had one devotee in New Vrindavan. He was really good at consuming prasad. In fact, not only was he good, he got the nickname Prasadam Addict. And his whole meditation, practically, the whole time he was a devotee was how to get prasad. Serious, because in those days, prasad was only available at scheduled times. And then, usually was all gone. So in between there was nothing. And because he was so simple and because he was so, not poor, but we were kept poor. The principle was everything for God, nothing for the devotees. So he would meditate all the time on how to get prasad. And he could consume large quantities of prasad. I mean, really large. 70 chapatis he ate one time. 70. 20 bowls of cereal, which is not like the cereal we have. It's like really thick and heavy. 2 gallons of sweet rice at a sitting. These are just a few of his amazing transcendental qualities. It was going on this for a long time. And it became an epidemic because, you know, a lot of times you would arrange for programs to give prasadam that was stashed away for further serve-outs. This became a problem. And then, because it became an epidemic, the temple leader, Vittananda Swami, made a declaration. Anyone caught stealing prasadam will have to get married. Now, that was the punishment. And some people actually wanted to get married, so that was a good idea to facilitate that desire. So I don't want to dwell on this particular pastime too much, but actually it became such an epidemic, and this man was addicted to prasadam. He was addicted. It's like people are addicted to different things, alcohol and drugs and sugar and sex, and people addicted to all things. And he was addicted to prasadam. And that's a good kind of addiction, but it can be a problem on a social level. It deprives everyone else. So at one point, he wrote his confessions. It's called Confessions of a Prasadamite. It's a 32-page account of his antics in Krishna consciousness. I still have it. It's a wonderful book. It's become popular in some places. So anyway, but Lord Chaitanya, he didn't get any reaction for Prasadamite. This is God. So even in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was in the role of a devotee and tried to keep that role constantly, still he displayed many superhuman activities. So the Lord, every time he comes, he displays something superhuman, and especially in the case of Lord Ramachandra. Prabhupada condemns persons who claim to be God without doing anything wonderful. There is a philosophy that goes around that, you know, simply by performing some kind of meditation, austerities, and other types of activities that are considered spiritual, one can become God. That the living entity is God but has forgotten the God. And therefore, there is a process that helps you remember your God. But then again, if God is so great, how can he forget his God? Well, they say that's in Leela. It's like one time there was one person. This was in Denver. I joined in Denver in 1972. And when I came to Denver because I was thinking, and actually I was going to Boulder. I wanted to come and find a place in America where there was a conglomeration of spiritual movements. So I was living in the East Coast and I left and came to Denver, Boulder mostly. There was a lot going on spiritually, a lot of ashrams, a lot of yogis were coming from India. And there was one whose name was Guru Maharaj Ji. I don't know if you remember. He's still around. He is, but he has a different lifestyle. But at that time, he was about 11 years old. And his mother brought him and his brother from India. And they were living in Rishikesh. They had a ashram in Rishikesh. Every holy place. Every holy place. Now, he would dress up as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with a yellow dhoti and a peacock feather and a blue and the whole thing. And he claimed that he was Krishna. And he had his program. He would touch people in the head like this, just very nicely, and then they would get some experience. You'd see some lights, or some bells would ring, or something. And then most of the day would describe him. They would get the power. He would give them the power. And then they would have an experience simply by him doing this. And so that convinced many people that he was actually God. That he would even do bhajans and sing, and he was claiming to be God. He was Krishna. Not only God, but Krishna. So Prabhupada came, and the devotees were telling Prabhupada about him. That there is this Guru Maharaj who claims to be Krishna, dresses up in his peacock feather, and he has, you know, flute, the whole thing. Prabhupada said, thought about it for a while. He says you should do three things. You should kick on his face, you should pass urine in his face, and you should throw a pie in his face. So one devotee thought this is a very nice instruction by Srila Prabhupada. Because Guru's words are absolute. And one should follow this instruction. So he decided to carry it out. True story. So one day he was having a public assembly, and all his followers and others were there. And there was a crowd, it was a large crowd, it was like 700 people. So this devotee got in the first row, the very first row. And he had a pie. A big, nice chocolate cream pie, which is like the messiest of all pies. So Guru Maharaji came out and he sat on the stage. And he was sitting there, and this devotee just went up and went, threw the pie right in his face, right in front of all his followers and everybody else. Of course, they were all shocked. He rolled it and some were angry. So they jumped on him and beat him up. And then later on, they were all talking to him. And they said, you know, he was explaining, you say your guru is God, but if he was God, why did he stop you from throwing the pie? It's so powerful. And they said, that was his leela. That was his leela. And that was his pastime. So, and then he said, well, I guess it was my leela to get beat up. But he was ecstatic. And a few years ago, Rana Swami came and met him. And then he was saying, to this day, it still happens because of the point of Prabhupada's instructions. No, he didn't do the other two things. Those were pretty much beyond what we call proper etiquette. But he did give him a little pie. Maybe it was Prashad, you never know. So, the Lord, you know, is not something cheap. Not something cheap. And of course, even now in South India, there's one very powerful Lord. He's powerful, and he has a large following, and he can perform miracles by making things appear. He can make rascals appear, he can make gold appear. They can make ashes appear. And this is an art. It's an art you can learn. It takes a lot of, what we say, concentration, a lot of austerity, a lot of determination, but it can be learned. Simply mind over matter. If one knows how to manipulate the material energy, one can control, at least to some degree, aspects of the material energy. On a really smaller level. So there's a power called Prapti Siddhi. It's one of these siddhis. And you can get anything from anywhere simply by meditating on it. And Prabhupada said when he was living with his father would invite yogis to come. Prabhupada said, my father hosted no less than three or four yogis every day. And they would come and he would let them stay, he would give them prasad, sometimes he would give them hookah pipe, you know, they could smoke hashish. The Lord Krishna Goswami said to Prabhupada, your father gave hashish? Prabhupada said, yeah, it's because that's what the sadhus do, they smoke. So my father was giving like the cult of culture. So he said, one time, one yogi came, and he said to my father, you ask anything from me and I will get it. So his father said, give me some pomegranates from Kabul. So the yogi said, go in the next room. So he walked in the next room, and on the table there was a pomegranate branch full of pomegranates. So he's thinking they can do that. Mind over matter. So people think this is God, or this is some kind of, you know, incarnation. But God is not so cheap. So sometimes we say, if someone is God, then build a bridge over Lanka by floating stones. Or lift Govardhan Hill, like that. Or people say, well, I'm Lord Shiva, therefore I can smoke ganja. Okay, the Lord Shiva drank an ocean of poison. To do that. So they can, when it comes to being challenged on that level, they can. So God is not so. Therefore, the Lord showed by his activities that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he simply, I mean, Prabhupada said, what's the big thing about floating stones in the water? He's floating these big giant planets in air, in the ocean of air, and we're sitting on them. And it's like, not only he's floating on air, but there's so much, huge amounts of weight that is sitting on these planets, and they're floating just like pieces of cotton in the middle of the air. They call it gravity. Gravity. It's another name for saying, you know, the energy of the Lord, that's all. It's simply the energy of the Lord, gravity. Right? So what does gravity mean? Well, it's gravity. But who's gravity? It's just like, you know, you paint a painting, and you say, oh, wonderful painting. Who made it? Nobody disappeared here. Yeah, gravity disappeared. The planet is just floating in it. Oh, it's actually all the work of the Supreme Personality. And for him, that's nothing. That's easy. And Krishna, but what Krishna really, the real quality that he likes to be known as not doing something powerful, but what he likes to be known as, of one who serves his devotees. This is what really makes Krishna happy and has, in his own definition of himself, glorious. People worship me not because I'm God, he says, but because I'm a servant of my devotees. Imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead finds great happiness in serving his devotees. There's a story. South Indian, there was a South Indian Brahmin, and his guru told him, you read Bhagavad Gita every day. Every day. And, but the problem was he couldn't read. So he would just look, he'd have the Bhagavad Gita upside down sometimes. And he would just try to sound the words, because that was his guru's instructions. And so this was going on, this was in the Ranganath temple in South India. And the other Brahmins would make fun of him. Oh, what are you doing, Brahmin? You can't read. They laughed at him and chided him and ridiculed him. But still, his guru told him to read, therefore he took the instructions as his life and soul. One who makes the instructions of the spiritual master their life and soul, Svaita Svatara Upanishad says all the imports of all Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed within the heart. What is that verse? First of all. Yes, your devi para bhakti, yata devi tata guru. Yes. One who makes the spiritual master's instructions their life and soul. All the imports of all Vedic knowledge is automatically revealed within the heart. Simply by making the instructions of the spiritual master in his life. other words, that means meditating on them and trying to carry them out. So he had that understanding, but he didn't have the qualifications to carry it out. But he tried, and that was the point. He tried. And therefore, you know, this went on for some time. And one day, Lord Chaitanya was traveling through the temple, through South India. He stopped in the Ranganath temple. And he saw this Brahmin. And he saw him sitting there. He said, "Brahmin, what are you doing?" He said, "Oh, my..." As he addressed Lord Chaitanya, he said, "Lord Chaitanya, well, you know, my Guru Maharaj told me to read Gita, but I can't read, but I'm trying to follow his instructions, and I'm doing my best." But Lord Chaitanya said, "But I see, you're not able to read, but somehow or other you're crying, you're feeling some emotion. Why is that?" He said, "When I see this picture of Krishna driving the chariot for his devotee Arjuna, he said, I cannot control my emotions. He said, this is so beautiful that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the source of anything, the most powerful force in creation, he becomes the chariot driver for his disciple Arjuna." Lord Chaitanya said, "You have understood Bhagavad Gita." Prabhupada loved that story. He told that story so many times. It's one of the most popular stories throughout his lecture. He said, "You have understood Bhagavad Gita. You understand that Krishna loves to serve his devotees, and the devotees just love to serve Krishna. That's the relationship between the Lord and his devotee. And Krishna derives great pleasure and happiness in serving his devotees. In fact, he says, you know, the personification of all the Vedas, they're offering me so many prayers, but they don't impress me so much. What gives me real pleasure is to reciprocate loving exchange with his devotees. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And so, by that example, and we even see here how Lord Ramachandra, what did the monkeys try to do? They tried to build a bridge, right? And Hanuman was throwing rocks and boulders into the water, but it was all sinking. It was just, nothing was working. And then Ram came and just wrote his name on the rock. Ram, right? And then everything floated, and they were throwing all these rocks. Ram was autographing the rocks. And as soon as he autographed the rocks, and they started to float. And 800 miles across the ocean, the bridge was built. 800 miles. So the Lord saw, the Lord could have, for him there was no problem getting across the ocean. For him there was no problem to somehow or other kill the demon. But he went through this whole particular pastime just to glorify his devotees. He does that just to glorify, to show the power and surrender of his devotees. How much both Sita, Vishen, Lakshman, and of course all the monkey soldiers headed by Haman, how much they gave their life just to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how the Lord reciprocated by glorifying them in so many ways. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it says, by one who understands the nature of the pastimes of the Lord, especially his birth and his pastimes, taktva deham puna janmani laiti mamanti swajana, one does not take birth in this world again. Simply by understanding the nature of Krishna's pastimes, Ram's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. What does that mean to understand it? Does that mean simply to have some philosophical, intellectual contact with these things? No. It means to understand them by realization. One who realizes, yes, this is Krishna. Realization is different than theoretical knowledge. Realization comes by the practice of bhakti. When we actually realize the nature of the Lord and his activities, Then there's no more birth in this material world again. One is free from the cycle of birth and death, simply by that realization. And that's the goal of life. And Prabhupada said, this verse, Janma Karma Chinevira, is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. He said that is the most important verse in the Gita. Because by understanding this verse, you have achieved the purpose of the Gita. That means you go back home, back to Godhead. You simply can understand Krishna. But Krishna is not easy to understand. He's not easy to understand. He's understood only by those devotees who are pure in heart. For those who engage in devotional service without any motivation. That is the qualification. We have so many desires, we have so many, what we say, needs. If we put them all aside and simply engage in devotional service, that is pure devotional service. You can become a pure devotee in 1 second. And you know that? Anybody can become a pure devotee in 1 second. Prabhupada said. But to qualify that, I'll explain. Because there's 2 kinds of pure devotees. There's those who are pure in heart, and then we understand that as pure devotees. Their hearts are pure, and they have no other motivation but to serve the Lord, and that's all they do, for the Lord's pleasure. And then there's the other kind of pure devotee, which I'm indicating now, and that means one who has pure desire. And your desire is pure, and you simply want to please the Lord and serve the Lord. You still may have material attachments, you still may have material desires. You forget about them. That's all. Just forget it. And engage in devotional service nicely. And then, in due course of time, by that pure desire, you will change purity in heart also. If we try to fulfill our material desires, engage in devotional service at the same time, it's very slow. Very slow. Very slow. Oh, so slow. It's slow, because you take 1 step forward, and you take 3/4 of a step back. Sometimes you go back 2 steps. So, material desires are simply due to the association of the material energy. So how can we just give up our material desires? It's not easy, right? That's the next thing. You're asking me, just be pure in intention. Sounds good, Maharaj, but not practical. Right? My classes are mostly impractical. But it is, if you simply associate with devotees. So associating with devotees, when you develop that desire, you develop your intention. Through say association and through serving the devotees. And as we were explaining, what does the Lord love to do most? He loves to serve his devotees. He says, those who say they're my devotees, they're not my devotees. Those who say they're the devotees of my devotees are actually my devotees. So to serve Krishna means to serve his devotees, because Krishna loves to do that. He came as Parthasarathi to serve his devotees. He came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to. Well, after he took initiation, when he became his Nimai Pandit, he went to Gaya, took initiation from Vishwarapur, and came back. And then he was a completely changed person. He was no longer the arrogant scholar he might ponder. He was so humble. He was so gentle. And he was just so enthusiastic to serve the devotees. He would bring them prasadam. He would fold their clothes. He would carry their loads for them. This was good. This was Lord Chaitanya. He was doing it. All this is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavata. So the Lord really finds the most happiness in serving his devotees. So in the same way, he's teaching us what is the highest principle in spiritual life is to become the humble servant of the Vaishnava. This is the highest of all principles. It's higher than becoming servant of Krishna. Because to approach Krishna directly is just not possible. Not possible. Why? Because Krishna makes the program. We want to get my nursery back to serve my devotees. So we say, yeah, all right, I serve the pure devotees only. The rest of them, what's the use? Now, Prabhupada said, servant of the servant of the servant 100 times removed. Yeah. The more we serve the devotees, the more we become happy. And that's the key to getting the mercy of the Lord. And then we can understand the Lord. Then these pastimes actually become alive in our hearts and minds. You know, those who want to be God, or those who want to be served, they can't understand the real God. They take these things as some kind of fictitious edit. Oh, they're just stories. They're just hyperboles. They're just exaggerations. They're analogies. They're simply meant to inspire one to take up the service of the Lord, but they're not true. Because, you know, one who doesn't engage in devotional service, they can't understand anything. And through the process of devotional service, causeless knowledge and detachment occur. Every time you please Krishna, Krishna gives you knowledge. I mean, pleasing Krishna is the Lord. He gives you knowledge. And every time you please Krishna, he gradually takes away your attachments in this material world. How does he take them away? You lose interest in them. That's one way he takes them. Sometimes he actually takes them away. We get a little nervous sometimes in that way. Let me have our program. Okay, Krishna. You see this list here? There's 2 lists. This list, you can tell right to take it. This list, you don't touch. This one, I'm your devotee, but, you know, just pay attention to this side. But that doesn't work. I'm saying, no, I like this other list better. And it says that if Krishna loves you, if Krishna favors you, he gives you everything. And if Krishna really favors you, he takes everything away. Prabhupada used himself as an example. What he did to him, what he did to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you know, he had a very nice wife, nice son. But his wife wasn't so much Krishna conscious. One day she was attached to drinking tea. He loved tea. And in those days you take tea and then you have tea biscuits. So one day she didn't have any money for tea biscuits. So she took Prabhupada's Bhagavatam and sold it when Prabhupada was gone to get money for tea biscuits. So Prabhupada came home and there's my Bhagavatam. So I wanted some tea biscuits. So Prabhupada, you know, he just said, okay, tea or me? And she said, tea. She said it in a somewhat of a joking way. Prabhupada thought this is a great way to get out of household life. So he took that as an opportunity to he also that's actually one of the final crunches that was leading up to that. Prabhupada tells that story. But then Prabhupada, after he became a devotee, he was engaged one time. No, actually, he was still in the family somewhat. Bhakti Siddhanta appeared to him in a dream and told him to take sannyas. Prabhupada said, I was horrified. My spiritual master is asking me to leave everything and take sannyas. So I'm like, horrible dream. And then The dream happened a second time. He had two dreams, same dream. Bhaktisiddhanta again at Utu. And then he ended in the second time he accepted it. And he said, I gave up one wife and a family. Now I have so many children without the botheration of wife. Oh, you know, we're not these bodies anyway. We are spirits of progress, and if you think you're a man or a woman, you have a problem. You play the role. We play the role as woman, as man. We play the role as temple president. We play the role as sannyasi. We play the role as guru. We play the role as father. These are all roles. But who are we? Jivasu Vaimucha Krishna Dasa, Krishna's eternal servant. So sometimes we attack the roles, but we don't really attack the living being. Because the living being is pure. And if we get too attached to the roles, and then when we get attacked by our roles, then we become upset. But they're only roles, that's all. The real role is that I'm eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One life I have a body as a man, and another life I might have the next body as a woman. So who am I? A man or a woman? Which one? But this bodily concept goes deep. One time Vidyananda Maharaj was preaching in South America. And he was preaching to this very wealthy and very highly respectable couple. And he's saying to them, you know, you have to understand that the principle is that we're not this body, that we're a soul. Our actual identity is that we're a soul. And the lady said, yes, I know that. I'm a soul. I'm a female soul. He's a male soul, a dog soul, a cat soul. So it's all part of the illusion, you know. So you don't get hung up too much on the roles. We play the roles because the roles are necessary and help us to execute our devotional service accordingly. We have to be good at whatever roles we play, but at the same time, it's like you're on stage and you're asked to play a part. So you do the part the best you can. You learn the part lines and you actually act the character you're trying to do very good, like you said, let's play. But at the inside, you know, I'm really not this very character. I'm just doing this as a role, an act. But the same way we're acting in this world, in whatever external identities we may take on, these are all roles. And these roles will change as we change bodies. And then ultimately, when we're free from all bodies, we take on our real activity, the eternal loving servant to Krishna. Free from all body and concept of love in the spiritual world. That's the goal. So, thanks. These are wonderful pastimes. Fortunately, when I went to India this year, and we traveled in the south, and we went to the place where the Lord crossed the ocean. It's called Dhanashkoti. It's the actual place where the bridge was built. And then we went even farther south to the very tip. And then we bathed in the holy waters there. And we walked about 12 kilometers to get there. Because you can only drive up to a certain point and the rest is all beach. There's only beach vehicles allowed on there. Because it's all sandy and stuff. And it was about 2,000 devotees. We walked down the beach to 2,000 devotees. In the ocean. Very, very. And I was one of the last ones to go. Because it was kind of slow. So when I finally got there, the police were there and they were saying, no more bathing. Because some of the devotees were getting a little bit out in deeper waters, so they were worried. But somehow or other, I snuck behind them and got in the water. And I went to the very special place where the only the Sankaracharyas, those who follow Sankaracharya, allowed to bathe. It's like a special place. So I told them, my name is Shiva, so I can bathe there. No problem. Chachamala means Shiva. Not that Shiva, but you know. It's a good way to get by when you need it. Anyway, we had an amazing, amazing experience going to many, many places. Where actually, where Lord Ram performed some of his pastimes. Okay, tomorrow is Sunday, and we're saving pastimes of Hanuman for tomorrow. Spells are really wonderful. Spells of Hanuman. When you hear the stories of Hanuman, his heart is overwhelmed. There, Hanuman is the personification of he knew no obstacle. The instructions of the spiritual master and the Lord, that's all he needed to hear. The obstacles were never considered. And of course, Hanuman is pretty powerful, so there's not too many obstacles for him. But anyway, tomorrow we'll hear about Hanuman. Okay, so I can stop here. Any questions? Comments? Anything? Problems, pastimes? So any last question? The ball. She's of the spiritual energy, where Ravana is under the material energy. He is powerful materially, but as we understood from the definition, something material cannot approach something spiritual and affect it. Therefore, she actually, when she was cleaning, she just picked it up and wanted to dust it and put it down. Her father saw that, Janaka, he saw that and he realized that his daughter was something really special. So the question? Yeah. Yeah, but then there would have been no fun. then the monkeys and Ram wouldn't have had nothing to do. They would have been unemployed. So that's the Lord's pastime. The Lord can do anything. It says that he comes for three reasons. He comes to reestablish religion, to remove irreligion, means killing the demons, and he comes to give pleasure to his devotees. But in the first two, he can do that without coming. Prabhupada said he can send a powered representative to reestablish religious principles. A guru, or he can send a very powerful national calamity to destroy the demons. But why does he come? To give pleasure to his devotees. And in giving pleasure to the devotees, he performs wonderful pastimes. And in these wonderful pastimes, he enacts religious principles and we learn from the Lord. He teaches us religious principles. He taught us that the perfect example of a husband. How he took care of his wife in all conditions. He took a perfect example of a king, how he ruled the citizens without any deficiency in religion. Perfect. So he came in order to establish a certain understanding of Dharma, and at the same time, and most important, to give pleasure to his devotees. And Prabhupada says, Krishna likes to fight. He can't fight in the spiritual world. So he comes in the material world. Prabhupada says, he likes to flex his muscles. He likes to work out a little bit. So there's a few demons and he just sends to Yamaraj. He enjoys that. It's sport. in Vaikuntha. Why do we carry those four weapons? Well, we see that the additional incarnations. That's a good question. I was told that when you mentioned, I don't have any scriptural references, all these four weapons are put in place in the spiritual world. And even when they're all these four weapons are personality. They're actually personality. Who was the name? His name? Kartavirya Arjuna, the one who was killed by Arasaran? Yeah. I was told he's an incarnation of Krishna's chakra. He had committed an offense, therefore he fell in that position and he had to take place in that particular situation. There was some offense that he committed. So these weapons are also personalities, I think. There's mentions that Ram, Lakshman, Shatrughna, and Bharat were Vasudev, Sankarsana, Arjuna, and Anuruddha, but they were also the four weapons of Vishnu. And so in the Ramayana, it also mentions that. Do you remember reading that? Remember? The weapons. The incarnations of the weapons, also these four. But they're both. They're different. What that means is that in some advent, because the Lord comes not only once as Ram, but he comes in different millennia, in different Tratiyugas as Ram. And one time he comes maybe directly as an incarnation of the Chaturvyuha, another time he can come as an incarnation of the weapons. Just like Hanuman. Hanuman is the son of the Vayu, the wind god. But he had a father named Kesari, and his mother name was Anju. But another time he took birth from the son of the Lord Shiva, and the story of Mohini Murti. So one time he appeared through Lord Shiva, another time he appeared, you know, through apparently through Anjali, called Anjali. Starts with a P. Anjali Putra. Yeah, Anjali Sutra. So just like Radharani. Now this is interesting. Prabhupada was giving a lecture one time. You can read it, it's written. Prabhupada said, and King Vrishabhanu was plowing the field, and he came across a box, and he hit the box with his plow. And he opened the box, and there was a beautiful open gold in there, and it was So we were thinking, Prabhupada made a mistake. And he must be talking about Janak, because Janak found Sita like that. But then we realized, no, it's just another way Radharani came. She came one time in a lotus flower in the middle of the Ganga, and she was given by Brahma to Vrishabhanu. And in another lila, she comes in another way. So you see, in the different lilas, there are certain details and differences. That's why the Ramayana, you find a lot of somewhat differences of details, because Ram has come many times. He passed on Golgotha. Two incarnations, they didn't recognize the Lord as the Lord. In the last one, they did. Shishupal and Dr. Gar, Shishupal knew that Krishna was God. But Prabhupada said, therefore, because of that, that was the line. That brought him back to, back to his position in that temple. As he retained his service as doorkeeper in that temple. But in the first two, Ravana didn't know Ram was the Supreme Lord, nor did Narayanakashipu know that Nrisingadeva was the Supreme Lord. They merged, They got, And there's two kinds of benedictions that the demons get. They merge into the body of the Lord, or they merge into the body of the falseness of the Lord. One of the two. So it doesn't describe exactly which one they got. But both are considered to be Sahuja Mukti that the demons get. Merging into the body of the Lord is higher and a little bit greater than merging into the body of the cultures of the Lord. Just like we see, who got that? Agasura. Agasura merged into the body of the Lord. Together. Good benediction like that. Yes, what did you? Yeah, he was. That's Bhakti Vinod. Yeah, how was he able to still remain his, keep his ideas, even though he knew Krishna was not? People do it all the time. Lord, why are you doing this to me? How did he get to be where he was? He was the cousin of Krishna. He was Krishna's cousin. His mother was Krishna's aunt. So therefore he had a relationship with him. But he was envious of Krishna. In fact, in the first word he came, says that the story says that generally when a child is born, I mean the mother and father are waiting for the first words, kaka, mama, dada, first words out of Shishupal's mouth was you rascal Krishna. First words of the baby. Yes, it's described. Not directly in the Bhagavatam, but in other supplementary literatures. First thing the Purman says, he didn't exactly say that. In other words, the first thing he said was he blasphemed the Krishna. That was his first word. He started off like that. A good start, isn't it? Krishna, he was born with four arms. Krishna was born with four arms. His mother took him to the astrologer. The astrologer said to his mother, when your son sees the person who will be the cause of his death, two of his arms will fall off. And she was a little concerned. So then she had a little ceremony for her baby. And she invited everyone, including Krishna. Krishna says, you don't want me to come. He said, Krishna, please come see my baby. He's so nice. But Krishna said, I'm warning you, you're not going to be happy if I come. She was so convincing, enthusiastic. Krishna said, all right. So he came. Krishna was there. And soon as he saw Krishna, two of his arms fell off. His mother was shocked. She said, you're going to be the cause of killing my baby? Krishna said, I don't want to kill him. But he's so envious of me. Constantly. So Krishna said, I'll give him a benediction. He can blaspheme me up to 100 times. And if he takes a breath and break after 100, then he can start from one again. Then he takes a break. So the story was that the Rajasuya sacrificed when they elected Krishna as the most honorable personality in the assembly. You know, Shishupal just got up and started criticizing. Who is this most honorable? So many great sages and saints and respectable people, and this Krishna, honorable. And just start blasting. And you know, and then of course some of the soldiers were getting upset. So Krishna was counting 96, 97, 98, 99. And he forgot to take a break. 100, 101, chum. Chakra came. So Krishna, you know, he was merciful. But envy, when a person is envious, their minds are polluted. And they can't see beyond their own envy. Envy is so bad. Prabhupada says, somehow or other you can dovetail lust. Somehow or other you can dovetail anger. And there's also a formula for these things. And greed. And pride. But when it comes to envy, you have to get rid of it. Envy has to go. And how do you get rid of envy? Becoming the humble servant of the devotees. One who serves the Vaishnavas. Because anybody can, you can say, well, I like to serve Krishna, but Krishna's perfect. And therefore, it's not hard to serve Krishna because it's perfect. But to serve God, you're only not always perfect. So by becoming the humble servant of the Vaishnavas, we ask to free ourselves from this tendency of the wrongdoers. Look what happened to Daksha. He was so envious of Lord Shiva. Shiva was so powerful. Shiva didn't even respond to this. Didn't even take note of it. Completely remained unaffected. Daksha just couldn't. He was so. The thing, here's how envy works. When you are powerful and when you are popular and when you are somewhat the focus, and then somehow or other somebody competes with that or is better than you in that, or somebody overshadows you in your presence and gets more respect and gets more attention. Boy, who's in? Or if you're neglected and not respected, and you're getting respect, you become. It just hits you. Don't they know who I am? And then that's really envy. The pride. Pride's also pride. But the idea is that one expects, you know, to be, you know, honored, to be respected. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya began to perform that. So one can be so much polluted by his envy that they lose all these qualities, destroy one's common sense, they destroy all one's intelligence. So there was God in front of him, and he actually knew it. But because he was so much attached to his own, you know, power, position, and so many things, he couldn't fathom Krishna getting anything. He just, you see it today, and even today's world, people kill each other. They actually know that killing is bad, and they know they'll be punished, but they actually act crazy because they're envious, or they're angry, or they're just polluted by material desires. That he got killed by Krishna Bhai, by Krishna. That, I mean, what is the cause of this mercy that you're referring to? Yeah, he got his mercy. In the sense that actually that was the last of the incarnations. He actually understood that this was God, but still his envy was too much. any time you get purification, of course, however well the purification, the more deeper the disease, the more severe the operation. Especially if you're a devotee. If you're a non-devotee, in a sense, is lust, anger, greed, envy, and these are things you just kind of like, this is the way of life. You know, you go on, but you're just suffering the threefold miseries constantly. You're not trying to get free from that. But if you're a devotee and you have a lot of envy, you're going to get smashed by Krishna hard. If you have a little bit, he's going to smash you a little less. And if you have just a tiny bit, he's going to very gently try to remove it, according to the severity of the disease. Because for his devotees, he knows the devotees want him, but at the same time, they're struggling with these things. So Krishna is very kind and very merciful. He's going to do it the best way the devotee can respond. And usually what he does is he gives you a little hint. And if you don't take it, it gets a little stronger next time. And then if you don't take it, it gets a little stronger. And then if you don't take it the next time, it might get really strong. And if you don't take it that time, then he lets you go. And that means you tell him, I don't really want to change. He says, no. Then you're lost. You ever have a thing called guilty conscience when you do something wrong? That's good. And that is the mercy of the Lord. When you don't have, when you do something wrong, you don't have a guilty conscience. You're lost. You're lost.
Prabhupada said, a devotee, he's so sensitive to how he acts, even if he makes a little mistake, he feels so bad. Because he knows he shouldn't have did that, but because something happened and he acted in the wrong. And that feeling of badness is actually good. It's a type of repentance in itself. But if we do things and we just don't feel guilty and we think it's all right, or, you know, I'll deal with it some other time, then we may get a little stronger smashing. What is it? Lois. Krishna says, one who sees me in everything and everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So as a devotee, we try to see Krishna in everything. What is Krishna doing to me? And therefore, the most important way you can see Krishna working in your life is the association of devotees. Krishna works through his devotees to purify. That's his special mercy. And sometimes you don't want that purification, so you go away from association of devotees. And then you keep your contamination and you think you're all right. But some people tell me, Maharaj, I was in the temple, you know, I'm struggling so hard, now I'm living outside, and it's all right, it's easy now. Yeah. And there's an old saying, if the going goes is getting easier, you may be going downhill. If the going gets easy, you may be going downhill. So, spiritual life means there's some struggle. If you're not feeling some struggle, that means really you're not making any advancement. Yes. Well, happiness is there, but the question is, what is happiness? Do you really understand really what happiness is? There's material happiness, there's spiritual happiness, and there's devotional happiness. Which one do you want? Yeah, what is it? I mean, you come, chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. Take prasadam, that's happy. Dance, that's happy. Right? The problem is we don't do these things all the time. We stop it. We talk gossip, we
We find fault with other people. We just complain about things. And then, how are you going to do that? Is that happiness? It's more like hippiness. No, you have to understand that the process works. The process is not meant to simply to give you happiness in the way that you expect it. But it's Lord Chaitanya is so kind. He's made it so easy. If you simply take the process up, you'll immediately feel happy. The problem is, after some time, you know, we expect things. When you expect anything, you have a problem. Don't expect anything. Simplicity means without expectations. One of the qualities of a Vaishnava is simple. And that means he doesn't expect anything. I'll give you an example. This is another story. Not with a devotee, but with... We were running a preaching center in Cincinnati, Ohio. Did I tell this story? Oh, okay. And... it was this very, we were having programs 5 nights a week. This was back in the 80s, I think. Yeah, the late 80s. And so every night there would be Sunday program, and then Monday through Thursday we'd have little kirtan, little prasadam, and a Bhagavad Gita class every night, except for Friday and Saturday. And so we were on a college campus, and one very professor-like person came. He wasn't a professor, but he was very, very, very well-spoken. Perfect English. Very polite, very respectful, perfect English, very intelligent, all good qualities. And he liked, somehow he got invited to come. He liked our movement, he liked the devotees, liked the prasadam. And he would always ask questions during the class, and we would give him the answers, but he could never understand the answers. He would always come back with another point based on what we said, which would completely confuse the point. He's just filtering our answers through his, what we say, intellectual medium. And he was highly intelligent. So he was a nice man, but we couldn't do anything with him philosophically. So we thought, all right, let's help him. We'll give him some service. So we asked him, you know how to make a garden? He said, yeah. He said, I'm quite good at gardening. All right, the deities need a garden. I said, thank you. Went out one day, went in the backyard, spent the whole day making a garden for the deities. That night came to the program. Wow, he was so happy. He was so happy. He says, this is wonderful. This is what you were talking about, the happiness. And oh, this was so nice. it was just great. You know, it was just great. But the one problem he had after that whole experience, he thought, now I understand. Again, he filtered it through his intellectual, you know, medium. That here's the way you do it. So the next day he went out there, did everything the same, came back that night, he was totally bummed out. He said, I don't know what happened. Yesterday I was so nice, I was just, and I did the same thing I did today. Yesterday, but nothing happened. Why? Because he had this idea, now I know. And Krishna said, no, you don't know. Because he was thinking, oh, it's mechanical. You just do it like this, you do it like this, and then you work. Very empirical, analytic, calculating type of thing, right? If I do this, I get this. I do this, I get this. Right? That's not Krishna consciousness. When Krishna is pleased, and if Krishna is not pleased, you know, Shrama Avi Kable, nothing works. So the idea is you can't put Krishna in a box and expect him to just to respond and open, when every time you open the box. Krishna has put you in a box. So it was his problem, you know. The point is that as long as we expect anything, we're going to be disappointed. If we expect, we should expect the opportunity to serve. That's all. If we just be only eager to serve, we'll see, just like everything up, leave everything to Krishna, he'll take care of you. That's all. How can I serve? Prabhupada said, I asked my spiritual master one question, how can I serve you? And from that answer came everything. And we can ask questions on the specifics in our devotional service. We can also ask philosophical questions. But if we're expecting Krishna to fulfill our desires, we'll always be disappointed. Krishna Prabhupada says, Krishna is not your order supplier. He may give it to you if he wants, or he may not. It's up to him. So how do you understand everything? Association with devotees. Saru sangha, saru sangha, sarvar sastri hoi, lava matta sarvar sangha, saru siddhi hoi. Simply by associating with the devotees, 1 minute association with a pure devotee, one can become completely purified. Prabhupada said three things are important in making advancement in Krishna consciousness. Association, association, association. These three things. Prabhupada said that. So it's so important that we come together, associate, serve each other, inspire each other, preach to each other, and talk to each other about Krishna. This is Vaishnava culture. This is bhakti. Simple, very simple. But it's not, it's simple in explanation. It's a little difficult in practice. Why? We still have our attachments. So, therefore, what do? We have our attachments, we want to be ideal. We pray to the Lord, please Lord, engage me in your service, that's all. Please help me forget about all these other things that I'm so worried about. Right? When we chant our japa, right? We're always thinking about so many things. This, that, this, that, this, that. Why, during the day, your mind's not bothered, but as soon as you start chanting, all these problems come. Right? Isn't it? Correct. I guess you're all confirming what I said. Yeah. No. Huh? The thing is, when you're chanting, you're purifying your heart. When you're purifying your heart, all these things come up. And you're thinking, ooh, push them back down again. Stop the process. Yeah, that's why devotees sometimes leave, because the purification is too much. They can't take it. And if you stay in the process, that's what happens. Then you start getting pure. Prabhupada uses an example. Or we use the example. You put butter on the fire and you want to make ghee. The purities, they come to the top. But then what do you do with them? You skim them off, you throw them out. So when these things come to the surface, you just let them go. And you focus on the holy name. Just push them out and just focus on the holy name. That's all. And what is our mental speculation? What is our tendencies? To mentally speculate this, that, to worry, to be in anxiety. Sometimes devotees are so much in anxiety. I remember I was preaching in St. Louis and I met one professor, not professor, he was a psychologist. So he was telling me, Maharaj, all these people, they come to me and they're so much worry. They worry, 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 worry. So they come to me for help. And I can't tell them, don't worry, because it's too much. They just can't do it. I can't just tell them not to worry. So I tell them, okay, you want to worry? You have a time during the day for worry. You worry between 4 and 6 o'clock. So you have your authorized worry time. So make your worry time
separate than your japa time. And if you happen to deal with that, that way you can, as they say, how is it, when Lord Shiva drank the ocean of poison, it was pervading the whole universe. He condensed it down into a few drops and then he drank it. So he brought that whole ocean down into a few drops. So we condense our, you know, our anarthas down into a little area where we can deal with them. And then gradually we can remove them. Practice.
One time, the Vaishnava Maharaj, he asked Manji, he used to live close to the temple. And now, then when he moved away, the Maharaj too much politics, and I can't have that. The Maharaj, politics means most of the purification. So you could that. So better you go and get that purification, do more service.
Yeah. And actually you can help others. If there's politics, you can be the example of what you shouldn't do. You don't like politics? All right, just stay engaged nicely. And anytime someone wants to speak politics, you just don't do it. And then people get a message, hey, here's somebody who's not into it. Jayananda was like that, the famous Jayananda. And somebody would speak about another devotee in a negative way, and he would be there, and he would say, excuse me, I have some service to do. He would always just walk away. He wouldn't even stay a second. He would excuse himself and leave. And then the message was, we're talking nonsense again. Jayananda's leaving. So, if there's something negative, it's not that you remove yourself. You can help make it better by being an example of something positive. And people know. You know, generally, if you're a devotee, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. But because of habit and because of whatever reason, we still are inclined to act on our negative tendencies. But when we see the example, the ideal example around us or those who are trying to practice, then we get inspired by that. And that's a way that we can get the strength to overcome. So yes, if someone moves away, they're not only hurting themselves, but they're also, you know, they're actually losing the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others. Can you turn a little bit? You're just like directly, yeah, that's it. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Anything else? Any other questions? Any last people?
And then, signing the devotees, what I had in the discussion, like where one devotee is okay. It would be, you know, okay to sell the Prabhupada and leave the farm, we also sell the deed, do it, and sell the question.
Serving Prabhupada and his deity and serving Prabhupada.
So, like you are talking that you know, it's good to serve the devotees and teach them things. You know, it could be the same if you serve Prabhupada and the deity. You don't worry about the devotees.
They said that? Don't worry about the devotees?
You know, compared to this, like both are same, so you know, you get the same benefit if they serve Prabhupada.
So, Prabhupada says, serve my devotees. So if you follow Prabhupada, you want to serve Prabhupada, he says serve the devotees. There's three kinds of categories of Vaishnava. Kanistha, Madhyama, and Uttama. Kanistha means they see their happiness in serving the spiritual master and in the Lord. But they don't have regard for the other devotees nor for people in general. The other devotees are a botheration, and the karmis are just the non-devotees are just karmis, and they're all mudas, neophyte. Second class devotee is madhyamam, and Prabhupada said this is the platform we live on, we act on.
He has four characteristics. He gives his love to the Lord. He makes friends with other devotees. He raises the innocent up by somehow or other trying to preach to them. And he ignores the atheistic, demoniac personalities. Prabhupada said our movement is the second class. And of course, the topmost devotee, he doesn't see anyone not serving the Lord. And he sees himself as the lowest. But we cannot officially jump up to that platform. So second class platform. Give your love to Krishna, make friendship with the other devotees, try to help the innocent by bringing them up, and avoid those who are atheistic and demoniac. You practice these four things, and generally you'll be very happy in Krishna consciousness. So making friends with devotees, that means generally we should have a friendly relationship with devotees in general, but some devotees we have friends. Some devotees that are close. Because their natures are similar, the way they think and do things are similar. You can't have that with every devotee. But you should always have a friendly relationship with all devotees. There should be no enmity or envy or no criticism of anybody. As soon as you do, as soon as that enters in, then the whole thing becomes polluted. So friendship means basically, you know, serving, giving Krishna consciousness, telling someone about Krishna, assisting that person in their service somehow. So, Prabhupada says, serve my devotees. And we're saying, no, I have to serve Prabhupada. No. You'll show your love for me by how much you cooperate together to push on this movement once I'm gone. Cooperation. It's very high. Especially in Kali Yuga. Everyone wants everyone to cooperate with me. Should cooperate? Yes, with me. Because I have the perfect plan. The Prabhupada also says, you may have a plan that's 90% good, and someone else may have a plan that's 80% good. And if you fight, then neither plan has any benefit. So, even if you take the 80% plan, it becomes 100% in Krishna's eyes. Because the whole thing is, what makes Krishna consciousness so wonderful is that when Krishna is pleased, then he empowers so many things to happen. He makes everything happen. You ever experienced Krishna's magic? Like sometimes you don't do anything and everything just falls in place. Sometimes you work so hard and nothing works. Have you ever had that experience? Or do you just see so many things just happen? That's Krishna. When Krishna's pleased, then everything becomes so wonderful. When Krishna's not pleased, it's so difficult. So how is Krishna's pleased? When devotees work together, cooperate together, serve each other, and actually develop real, genuine affection. When that's there, then that's very pleasing to Krishna. And that's very difficult to do. But that's what it means to go back to Godhead. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to say, you want to go back to Godhead? It's not like when you get there you become pure. You've got to become pure here and in the spiritual world. You know, we have to create that atmosphere here in the material world. Otherwise, how are we going to get it in the spiritual world? I can't have it here, but when I get it, I'll get it there. No, you're not qualified to be there unless you be able to live it in this. That means, what does that mean?
That means that in everyone in the spiritual world loves each other as much as they love Krishna. What does love mean? Love means sacrifice, that's all. And we're willing to sacrifice for the happiness of others, that's all. That's what love means. So those of you who are family people, you know. You sacrifice for your husband, for your wife, for your family. That's love. We sacrifice for Krishna and we also sacrifice for his devotees. How do you go? Everybody's so quiet. I get on a particular topic, I don't stop. Any other questions, comments? Does that answer your question?
Yeah. We were reading from Pada from where Nada Muga and the country by serving the saints.
How do you know who's a saint? How do you know who's a saint? You're making a calculation that Prabhupada's a saint and nobody else. Right around you, you can't tell who's in your midst. What is their spiritual qualities and characteristics? They may be, you know, simple personality who has a very simple service, but they can be a great saint. Yeah, anyone who comes to this movement, Prabhupada said, is saintly. And people have come who have come in from previous lifetimes. You don't know who they were in their previous life. There's one Mataji, she's in London. She goes out on Harinam practically every day. And she knew who she was in her last life. And she was an ISKCON devotee in her last life. She was a brahmachari and she got killed in a car accident. Really? It's an amazing story. And somehow or other, she was in a car accident and got killed. She was a brahmachari. And even the person who was driving the car, who caused the accident, you know, he found out. She took birth again in this movement. And she had a very terrible experience that brought her to the movement. But finally, when it came, you can meet her. She can go to London. Her name is Ratnavali. She does Harinam all the time. Such a wonderful personality. Simple Indian Mataji. She's always smiling. Always. She loves devotees. She plays a djembe drum. She's out on Harinam. Remember her husband. They won the award last year in Mayapur for Sankirtan. They go out every day. Her husband goes out 4 hours every day in Harinam. She goes out practically 2 hours every day. So, you know, you never can tell who these people are, who's who. And you know, it's not your position in this. It's not your the sannyasis or the gurus or the great, and everyone else is just like in Maya. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is an amazing person. He had psychic vision. It was really amazing. And he used to tell me, he said, two people in my life now, they were with me in a previous life. He knew that. He said, my uncle and Mother Landini, I don't know if you knew her. She said, we associated in previous lives together. And he was not just guessing. He said it. And when he said it, I understood it. He understood it clearly. So you don't know who was Mother Landini. Of course, she was a great saint, but what was she doing? She was just taking care of Jagannath and cooking for him. That's all. We don't know. What's that one girl who was in Scotland? Her husband was Balabhadra. She took sannyas after she left her body. They made a wrote a book, Simple for the Simple. You've seen that book? It's about 80 pages long. It's the life of this lady what was her name? Ratnaranjani. Her name was Ratna. She was from Scotland. What was her service? She was just a Mataji in a temple. And she would just pack the lunch. She would make the lunch for the brahmacharis every day when they went out in sankirtan. And she was just really enthusiastic to serve. No big position. But then she came down with cancer. And in her last stages of cancer, she was sitting in bed and she was talking about Krishna in Vrindavan. She said, I'm with Mother Yasoda right now. And I'm a little girl and I'm assisting Mother Yasoda in preparing for Krishna's lunch. She was actually seeing it. Her husband was amazed because he was talking that. And then he would ask her questions. She'd say, no, it's not like that. It's like this, like that. Yeah, Ratnaranjani. What was her? It was a little simple Mataji in the temple. Yeah, so when she was leaving her body, she was talking about her visions with Krishna and Vrindavan. She could see herself performing her leela. This was in the later stages, just before she left. She was in like in a trance because the cancer was so bad. She just went into internal consciousness, but still there was some external, you know, connection with her husband. Her husband was writing all this down. He wrote the book, Simple for the Simple. Beautiful little paperback book. It's a picture of her on the cover. And she told her husband, when I die, you take sannyas. Mm-hmm. And he did. Don't get married again. You don't know who's who, you know. How do you know who's a saint and who's not? Therefore, we treat everyone with respect. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, somehow I live in this world because I do one thing. I respect everyone. I respect them accordingly. You know, that's like this respect is not given in the same way. You don't pay your obeisances to, you know, to the police chief. You know. Might shake his hand and something like that. But, you know, respect should be there for everyone. How is it possible to respect everyone? What's the key? There's a spiritual principle that makes this easy. How is it possible to respect everyone? What is that principle that makes it completely easy? Well, you can see yourself as being in that position. But there's something about that person. You're serving a Krishna, yes, but there's something else.
When you see that this person is like a Krishna?
That's true. That's also very good. That person is very dear. Krishna is equal to all. What is it? What is that verse? Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvaishasya na priya. I'm equal to everyone. I envy no one, nor am I impartial to anyone. But what is that principle that makes everyone respectable? When you pay, there you go. When you pay obeisances to another person, you're paying your obeisances to Super Soul in the heart. That in the heart of all living being, God is there. He's in everyone's heart, even in the ant. So in that sense, although people who are covered by the material energy, they don't even know that God's in their heart. Still, we know. So if you offend that person, you also offend the Lord in the heart of that person. And if you respect that person accordingly, we don't give artificial respect. We give people respect accordingly. And Krishna is pleased. And that's what it means to see Krishna everywhere. Krishna says, when you thus learn the truth, you'll know that all living beings are my parts and parcels. They're in me, in their mind. That is the next verse after Tadviri Paripatena Paripasena Sevaya. Krishna says, by approaching the Spirit, He gives you the truth. And when you learn the truth, what is that truth? That all living beings are my parts and parcels, including you.
You're also Krishna's part and parcel. Not that everybody else is, and you're not. You're also Krishna's part and parcel. That's powerful. What's that spirit we sing? Chaksudan diloye janmi janmi Prabhu say dibya gyan riddhi prakasita. So that line, dibya gyan riddhi, Prabhupada explains that. That this means that the spiritual master teaches you, you are Krishna's eternal servant. That is the dibgyan. Not only you, but all living entities are Krishna's eternal servant. So, of course, you can't go up to a tiger and say, Mr. Tiger, please accept my humble obeisances and just embrace the tiger. Unless you're Lord Chaitanya, then you can do that. And you can make them dance, too. But the point is that, like that. Okay, so we stop here. It's Ekadasi today? Okay. Everyone's fasting? Almost. Of course, Prabhupada gave us a concession, but we can always do a little more. Prabhupada said, Ekadasi, Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, Ekadasi is the mother of devotion. On this day, you can make great spiritual advancement. And so on this day, there's a recommendation that we increase hearing and chanting. So that's all. Decrease other activities, increase hearing and chanting, and then one will get the benefit. So Prabhupada, someone asked Prabhupada, Ekadasi, how many rounds should we chant on the Ekadasi, Prabhupada said? 16. And Prabhupada, and someone said, no, on Ekadasi. Prabhupada said, for those who are staying back, 25. For those who go out to preach, then they can still do 16 rounds. Those who are staying in the temple should chant, Prabhupada said, 25 rounds. There you go. So it's, if you want to chant 25, it's nice. Some devotees chant 64 on this day. Some do more or less like that. It's always good. Prabhupada said, when you give initiation, you say, do you agree to chant at least 16 rounds? Now, 16 rounds is not the maximum. It's the minimum. 16 rounds. Wow, am I glad that's over. Prabhupada was in his room one time with Shruti Kirti. Prabhupada was chanting, and then he got to the last beat. He went very, very methodically. He went 16 rounds. Now I can do any damn thing I want. Then he turned to Shruti Kirti. He said, they think like that. Get my rounds done, and I'm free. Free! Freedom. Prabhupada said 16 rounds on beads, innumerable rounds off the beads. That means we can chant all day. Chant when you're working, chant when you're cooking, chant when you're taking care of the children, chant when you're driving, chant when you're whatever you're doing. Chant 16 rounds nicely with attention. But in, when you're after that, then the rest of the day is okay. Put the beads in the corner and just forget about it to the next day. Oh, chant all day. Right? Yeah, it's a good idea. Because when you're chanting, what are you doing? You're remembering Krishna. And when you're remembering Krishna, you have achieved the perfection of life. What is that verse? Smartavam, Smartavyam, Sardatam, Vishnu. Yeah, go ahead. Jatuchit, yeah. What is that first one?
Sure, Vidhi Nisheda Sure, Etava Eva Kinkara. That always to remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. This, all the rules and regulations are subservient to these, this one principle. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So if you're doing, if you're remembering Krishna, you've achieved the results of all the rules and regulations. So, okay. We'll leave it and we'll stop on that note. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Sri Ramchandra Ji Ki Jai. Thank you. Thank you.